From high atop his secret broadcasting Shangri-La, overlooking New York, Miami, Austin, Seattle, and all points in between, this is America's number one life coach, Daryl Mobley.
You are listening to the Daryl Mobley Show, your life coach on the radio. The Daryl Mobley Show is the drama-free, success-focused, excuses, they are not welcome. Forget the whining, make progress, no negativity allowed, work your plan, and zero, zilch, nada, psychobabble show. Here's why. So you can achieve your goals and live your best life. I'm Daryl Mobley, and I have been called son, brother, husband, dad, friend, Coach Mobley, and one of the best life coaches on the planet. Today, right here, right now, Coach Mobley is all yours. Let's get started.
Often blunt.
Go on.
Sometimes scary.
Go on.
And always on your side.
I'm a pretty big guy, and I think you'll be pleasantly surprised how much fun we can have together.
Daryl Mobley is your life coach on the radio.
I'm going a bit off course today because I want to share with you a request I received from a client and my thoughts about the request and where we go from here. I'm going to title this 14 Reasons Why Your Organization's Diversity and Inclusion Efforts will continue to fail. So here's what happened. A client of mine, has been a client for a number of years, sits on a few boards. She sent me an email asking for input on how the organization she's on the board of could fix their diversity problems. So that was it. How could they fix their diversity problems? I'm getting this request, this question more often these days. So with her agreement, I'm going to share with you my response to her. Here goes. Research by McKinsey & Company shows that companies with more culturally and ethnically diverse management teams and boards were 33% and 43% more likely to see better than average profits. There is a very significant correlation between diversity and an organization's performance. Now, why do these diverse organizations outperform their less diverse counterparts? It's really very simple. Think of it this way. Diverse workplaces, management teams, and boards are more innovative, make more complete business decisions, make better hiring decisions, and solve problems faster. You see, when you have a diverse workplace with diverse employees, diverse management, and the board is diverse, here's what happens, or here's what it's analogous to. It's analogous to a football team that has an offensive team, a defensive team, a receiving team, you know, for kickoffs, and a kickoff team, and an extra point team. Imagine if you had a football team that didn't have a defensive squad, or imagine if you had a football team with no offensive squad, or imagine you had a football team that didn't have a squad designed to kick the ball off and cover kickoffs or to receive kickoffs, or imagine you didn't have a field goal kicker at all. That's what it's like with these companies without when they're not diverse. It's obvious why companies that are diverse are more productive, are more profitable, increase sales, increase happiness among the people who work there. The impact of diversity is also clear when you look at U.S. industries that historically limited the participation of minorities, particularly the participation of Black people. Consider all the innovations, all the successes, all the advancements that have occurred in, let's see, entertainment, science, music, math, sports, and the military industries, as a result of the contributions of black people, here's the kicker, once they were no longer officially prohibited from participating. Now, for many of you out there, if you're young, let me just make sure you understand. For hundreds of years, black people were not allowed to officially participate fully in the sciences, in entertainment, in music, in math, in sports. Imagine pro baseball, pro football, pro basketball being all white with no black athletes. It was true in the military as well. When you don't allow all of your talent, all of your assets to come into play, you're not going to perform as well. But when you allow them to come into play, look at the advances in those areas I talked to you about. Think of the changes. Think of what music is now, what it has been through all the decades. The more and more black people and other minorities were involved, it changes it. It evolves it. It makes it better. Despite data that presents clear benefits for more inclusivity, most organizations make little to zero effort when it comes to attracting, retaining, developing, and advancing diverse talent. These organizations then are leaving revenue, profits, market share, and employee satisfaction on the table. And increasingly, they're being held to account by citizens, by consumers, and by customers. So the question I received, how to fix an organization's diversity problems, begins with acknowledgement of why there are diversity problems. In other words, what are the causes? If you don't know the causes, you can't fix the problems. Based on my work with an analysis of more than 200 organizations, here's why most fail at diversity and inclusion. I've numbered these 14, but the order is of no particular importance. Number one, the organization's actions in addressing diversity problems are not driven by a coherent set of principles which guide leadership and corporate decision-making and behavior. Number two, fixing the diversity problem is not really important to the organization's leadership or board. Because I got news for you. If it was important, it would get done. Number three, the organization's diversity problems are sustained by unchecked human nature. It is just what it is. I've long known that fire burns, water runs downhill, and people, well, they tend to hire and promote those who look like them. I still chuckle, ruefully, but I still chuckle at the time a junior manager at a company with which I was affiliated was given a second in a row poor job performance evaluation by his very well-regarded boss. Even as a casual observer, you could see that this junior manager was simply not meeting basic job requirements. This is normally, and was normally, the death knell, and it would be expected normally that this junior manager would be required to very quickly leave the company, branded as a failure at least, at succeeding in that company. So I'm seeing all this go on. Suddenly, out of nowhere, a very, very, very senior manager who was not in the junior manager's chain of command swooped in and suggested that he would take the junior manager into his division and make sure that that junior manager got good training, which is a nice promise. The junior manager is already getting good training, but okay. This senior manager was so senior that the move was made and that junior manager was actually transferred. Apparently, they trained that junior manager very well because he ended up getting promoted quickly, twice, frankly, really quickly, twice, before he ended up getting an offer at a much bigger job, for a much bigger job, by a competing company. Of course, he accepted. Because we have LinkedIn, I'm able to see that that manager, that former junior manager, has continued to parlay that series of events and the resume kind of shine that comes with being promoted into the jobs he was promoted into other high-status jobs at a series of companies. Good for him. Again, due to the magic of LinkedIn, I see that which was neither obvious nor announced when this junior manager was rescued. That former senior manager I talked about likely swooped in to salvage this person's career because what? He and the junior manager had attended the same private prep school, albeit a generation apart. They were members of the same college fraternity and had several familial connections. Outrageous, right? My point here is not to point out that it is outrageous, although it was. My point here is that the uneven playing field created and sustained by both unconscious and conscious bias in actions and decisions, big and small, by those who make the hiring and promotion decisions, it represents an enormous advantage that distorts careers. For every one person like that who is benefited by biased actions on his or her part, there are others for whom that bias cuts the other way. And they don't have the great careers, and they don't make the same amount of money, and they don't have the same oomph in their professional lives. Not because they weren't talented, not because they weren't good, but because they did not have that connection to those who make the decisions. Here's the deal. Diverse talent is far less likely to have these advantageous connections. I think we all can agree to that. Number four, the organization's efforts at addressing its diversity issues are often doomed to fail because underlying their recruiting and retention efforts is a very false belief that the talent isn't out there. I've heard that myself, by the way, in the diverse population. This incredibly flawed thinking is driven by hubris. That's all I can say. Hubris, which allows that one's own upbringing, one's own schooling, one's own community, one's own drive and intelligence is unquestionably, obviously, forever superior to those other people. And it should be, in other words, one's own life, one's own community, schooling, etc., should be the model which is used in efforts to find, recruit, train, and develop talent. Here's the deal. If you're the one and you pick people because they match everything about you, don't be surprised when you get people who are just like you. This is clearly discrimination. During a meeting early in my corporate career, I was told by my bosses that it's tough. We just can't find other qualified black candidates. While I did not work in HR, I never worked in HR, I was just perplexed by their statement. I'm thinking, that doesn't make any sense. And I replied, and I was a bit sharp-toned when I replied. If you know me, you can imagine that. Here's what I told him. You want different fish. You have to change where you fish. You won't catch different people by only looking for them in the same places you've always looked for the people who look just like you. Why don't you do some recruiting at, and I actually gave them just a number off the top of my head places. I just said, well, you might want to try here, 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 and here. The good news is they did actually do that. And the next cycle of recruiting, next year, I saw a lot of different people from those sources, male and female, recruited into the company. I'm glad I spoke up. But I want to say that it was obvious. Why you look in your own backyard and say, I want diverse talent. That's never going to happen. It's your backyard. You're only going to see what you always see in your backyard. Number five, the organization's efforts to address its diversity problems are guided by the PR and HR departments and not driven by business leaders with specific goals and a bottom line, results-driven focus and a clear mandate to make it happen. Number six, the organization's mid-level managers are not evaluated and rewarded based on achieving carefully designed goals regarding the training and the development of diverse employees. It is not news to any of us that middle management will not do what they are not rewarded for. For that matter, neither will senior management. Number seven, the organization's energy to address its diversity problems is oriented towards performance art. You know what I mean. Performance art, slogans, t-shirts, multicolored flags, tearful actors professing their guilt, allies, and stuff like that. And not meaningful results. Nothing, and I mean nothing, is so vacuous and ineffectual as virtue signaling masquerading as real change. Talk has always been cheap. Deeds, not words. Number eight, The organization is psychologically conflicted. Let me say that again for those of you in the back of the room. The organization is psychologically conflicted as it does brisk business, huge business, with state-run companies from openly and outrageously racist countries, even while the organization publicly thumps its chest over its belief in equality and diversity. I mean, hypocrisy on a level that just brings you to your knees. This behavior versus assertion, so what they do versus what they say, cannot well coexist. It is as author Khalil Gibran said, if it is a despot you would dethrone, see first that his throne erected within you is destroyed. Number 9, the organization's efforts to fix its diversity problems is hampered by a failure to acknowledge that the greatest affirmative action ever is the one that for hundreds of years, and it continues, has insanely valued one group over another based on the provably false use of color of skin as a proxy for ability. You want to talk about affirmative action programs? Imagine an affirmative action program that gives one group advantage in employment, in housing, in education, in criminal justice. I mean, on and on. That is the biggest affirmative action program ever. And again, it still goes on. Here's my point. I don't want to hear people or organizations worry about, oh, this is affirmative action, or, oh, this might cost a lot of money. For those of you who have a little bit of history in you, you can look this up. Nobody was worried about what it was going to cost when they essentially gave, after the war, they gave thousands and thousands of white families homes at sweetheart prices while not allowing black families to move into those homes. They, by the way, are the government, to move into those homes. My point is, that is a huge advantage. Things need to be done correctly now. We need to fix problems now. Let's not pretend this, you know, this stuff never happened. Now let's move forward. But it's not, we're not going to get the change we want unless people understand, oh, wait a minute. So this is what's been going on? Say it. Understand it. Embrace it. And now let's move forward. Number 10. The organization fails to understand that addressing its diversity problem will be really, really hard because it is the organization that needs to change. Real change is always hard and it is uncomfortable. I remind you, our country went to war to address the slavery issue. A lot of people died. A lot of stuff. I mean, it was a tough time, but it was the right thing to do. The organization must consciously choose to do the right thing, even when it's difficult, perhaps especially when it's difficult. I'm reminded of part of what they tried to teach us when I was a cadet at West Point, that we had to essentially embrace the harder right instead of the easier wrong. And that's what this is really all about. Number 11, the organization's effort to address its diversity problems is mostly propelled by the unguided anger of the mob as opposed to being driven by the steely-eyed resolve of organizational leadership. Listen, being angry doesn't fix anything. And anybody who's listened to me for any length of time knows that's not what I'm about. I'm about solutions. We got problems. We need to fix them. Being angry does nothing. That is wasted energy. Let's put our energy into moving forward because it's the right thing to do. If you start acting or behaving out of anger or out of just untempered emotion, the actions you take are almost always going to be very wrong. And they're going to leave you with a worse result than you were in before. Number 12, there is failure to accept that the diversity problems are due to flaws in the organization's overall system and not due to a lack of talent among the diverse population. Said another way, the harmed, those who are harmed, are not the problem. Number 13, the organization's efforts to address its diversity problems do not comprehensively and strategically address recruitment, training and development, retention, and advancement of diverse entry, mid-level, and senior employees. If you don't step back, if you're part of an organization, you don't step back and say, okay, we need to put together an entire plan to address this issue, then it's just not going to work. Again, it's like having a team, but not a complete team. You may score points, but you can't stop anybody from scoring. You kick the ball off, but you don't cover well, so they run it back for a touchdown. You got to have a complete team. You got to put all your players on the field. Put all your focus on all the right things. And number 14, the final one, the organization's failure to solve its diversity problems is due to a lack of the following: accountability, overt connection to business growth, financial investment, strong leadership, and on strategy programs. So I sent this message back to my client and I shared with her, hey, next steps are these. I said, let's discuss these causes as they apply to each of your organizations. Then I'll be happy to sit down with you, put together a comprehensive plan tailored for how each organization can solve its diversity problem. So you see, I was not able to offer and could not have done in good conscience solutions for problems which have not been identified and specified for each individual organization. Some organizations are going to have some of the issues that another organization may not have. Some organizations are going to have all the issues. But we've got to identify what that organization is doing and not doing and how it's behaving, and et cetera, before we can fix it. You go to a doctor, you want the doctor to at least look at you and ask you a few questions before he gives you medicine. You don't want him to just start giving you medicine, because he might give you medicine for the wrong thing, and then you're in a real pickle. So that's what I wrote in response to a very nice client for a lot of years who sent me a request. I thought it was so important to get the message out that I asked her, would you mind if I shared this broadly? And she said, of course, she was fine with it, without identifying her companies, of course, but she was fine with it. And I just want you to know, you listening, we can change the world. You, me, we can change the world. All we got to do is be clear-eyed about it. You know, look at what has happened and then address the going to be obvious problems. Address the obvious issues with solutions that fit that issue. There's no one size fits all for the country, for businesses. There's no one size fits all. There are different things going on in different places. But the challenge of doing this is no different than the challenge of growing a business. You know, if we need to, I've dealt with a lot of major companies, you know, and they have tremendous assets. And when there's a problem and they want to fix it, believe you me, they know how to get busy about that. They put efforts and resources against it. The people who are working on it know they need to come back with solutions. And they're going to be judged on whether their solutions, will they reach the goals. You're going to be judged on that. We need to do that in business. I'm saying steely-eyed business resolve, goals, mandates, those sorts of things. I think they can be applied to anything, but they certainly can be applied to businesses. Please feel free to share my thoughts with people you know. Hopefully, we'll do our part to make the world a better place. Thanks.
Friends, thank you for joining me on the Daryl Mobley Show, your life coach on the radio. Let's do it again. Same bat time, same bat channel. Remember this, my friends. In life, you don't get what's fair. You don't get what's good. You don't get what's nice. You don't get what you deserve. You don't get what you wish for. And you do not get what you need. In life, my friends, you get what you do. Period. Make the person in the mirror. That's you. Do the right things, and you will win at the game of life. One more thing. Your life will not get better by chance. Your life will get better by change. Believe. Think. Act. Win. And say it with me, enjoy life. Hey, wife, I love you and the kids. See you soon. Bye-bye now.
They don't teach this stuff in school.
And who do you propose teach this class?
You're on the air with Daryl Mobley, your life coach on the radio. Love.
Hello, friend. I want to invite you to get a free subscription to my Live Your Best Life newsletter. It's fast and easy to do. Just go to CoachMobley.com. Click on the button you see there, fill out the little form, and you're in. Thanks.